Hi, Maria. Hi, Nicholas.
Hi, Femke.
Hi.
It's been a while, Maria.
I know. It's crazy.
So your kids are back to school?
Yes, and they started last Thursday, and hubby was away in Australia the whole week. So it's going to be crazy. Everything takes so long in Italy.
Oh, yeah.
Registering everybody for activities and everything. So, but anyway, it's all good.
Oh, good. Well, good to have you back.
Thank you. And good to be back.
Nice. And we have Nicholas joining us as well. Hi, Nicholas.
Hi, thank you. Hi.
Good to have you on the call.
Yeah, thank you.
How have you been?
Fine. We've had some really great weather here this last month. So I've enjoyed being outdoor a lot.
Nice.
Yeah,
I heard like in Holland it's really warm.
Yeah, it's like a real summer month.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Nicholas, you are new and Francisco is new as well. Hi, Francisco.
How are you, Fenka?
I'm good. How about you? Where are you?
Right now I'm back in D.C., in D.C. and in Washington.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. But you, where did you go, like Africa?
I was in Zimbabwe, Botswana, Zambia, and South Africa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was very intense, but it was good.
Yeah. Do you have to travel again soon, or?
Unfortunately, no. I've been traveling a lot, but I won't be traveling until mid-November.
Oh, okay. Well, I think in mid-November comes pretty soon.
That's right.
Okay, so, well, welcome to the call, Francisco.
Thank you.
What I'd like to do, and I guess you can start, because everyone's new. Well, Maria has been on the call, but you're new to one another. So if you could introduce yourself a little bit. Then we can start with that, and then we can get started with the mentoring.
Okay. My name is Francisco Dahlmeier. I've been working with NLP and meta coaching for many years. I did a lot of the training with Grinder, the Andreas, Connie Ray Andreas, a number of people starting in the 80s and the 90s, and Michael later. This is something that I do as part of my biology background. Biology is my background, and that's my main job. But I use the NLP coaching skills every day in my work, sometimes without the name, or many times without the name because of the context where I work. And I have my interest is to be able to take this again to the next level. Integrated in the next 5 years of my life and a new planning, a new direction. So I'm trying to work on this. So this is my goal for the next few months.
Nice. That sounds good. Well, welcome to the program, Francisco.
Thank you.
Okay, so Maria, how about you?
Welcome, Francisco. I started the coaching path about 5 years ago, and I have three kids, so it works for me to be able to coach, you know, around having a family. We moved to Italy 2 years ago, so I've only in the last probably just before the summer break, I started coaching again since I've been in Italy. So I just want to keep my skills fresh and start getting some clients again.
Sounds good, Maria. With regards to getting some clients again, what mm-hmm. What kind of activities are you doing for that?
Well, at the moment, firstly, I need some space. So I'm looking into getting some office space a few days a week. So that's the next step first.
Yeah.
getting some office space. So I've been starting to ask around since the summer break's been over, just in the last week. Mm-hmm. So that's the next step. Mm. There's an expat community. So I've joined like an international women's forum as well.
Nice.
So in Bologna. So looking at, potentially even holding some talks for the women or, even some smaller groups. So connecting with local women is part of the next step as well.
Okay. And are you going to be coaching expats?
I think because I prefer to do face-to-face coaching rather than Skype or telephone right now. Mm-hmm. It serves me to be, I really enjoy being amongst people. So I kind of killed two birds with one stone, coaching,
right.
Actually being amongst people and, having that face-to-face contact.
Nice. Hey, and what happened with the lady that you were coaching?
So we had the break over the summer. So my client still has one session to go. So we haven't rescheduled that. So that the plan is to reschedule that in the next, hopefully, month or so.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. I'll be curious to see where she's at.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Maria. And Nicholas?
Yes. I also had quite a lot of NLP background and neurosemantic background. Studying like here in Sweden and also with Michael Hall and Robert Dills and so on. I worked quite intensively both as a coach and a trainer until a couple of years ago. And then last year I had the privilege of, I was brought in into an organization and worked with mainly groups, but also some personnel managers. And I really felt the excitement of it, and I felt that I wanted to go back into coaching more like full time, but I still feel I need to bring up my coaching skills, and that's why I'm here, and that's why I took the earlier program with you, Femke.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, so just for your understanding, Francisco and Nicholas, usually what we do is like either you bring a topic to the table, like a skill that you really want to focus on.
Okay.
And that can be anything from like working with meta questions or getting a KPI. So you're going to go through like all the modules that are online, and that starts with, for both of you, with setting an outcome and working on the KPIs. Okay. Once you have done that, we get on a call, individual call and one-on-one, so that I can help you get more specific. So it's not actually a coaching session, but I'm helping you with your self-coaching and really kind of looking at, okay, if you're using nominalizations, how can you make that more specific? Have you grounded your outcome? In what specific areas are you going to see a change, and how will you know? So we work on that so that you can refine your own outcome document. And the reason why I'm not coaching is because I want you to learn the skills so that you can take that into your in your coaching sessions.
Yeah. Okay.
And so as you go through the online modules, topics will come up that you want to work on. You'll also have the access to the Quantum Leap program so that you can go through that and watch the videos there. Something might come up there that you want to work on. Can also be like a inner game stuff, and then we can just do a coaching session. Maybe like sometimes we do co-coaching so that one person gets coached on a specific topic and the others the others on the call get to practice their coaching skills and working together in co-coaching. We do that as well. So it's an open format, and it's really about like what is going to take your skills to the next level and focusing on that. Doesn't always mean that we do a practice a coaching session. It can just mean that we focus on, okay, let's get the strategy process in this time, or let's get, let's focus on asking meta questions so that you really start to kind of learn those skills.
And what about the different time frames? Is it every other week tonight or?
Yeah, it's every other week at the same time.
Yes, this time.
This time, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and you can either email me beforehand or you can just bring it like into the discussion today.
Is it, and will it be for an hour or?
Yeah, it's usually between an hour and an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any questions, Francisco?
No, no.
Have you been able to go through the first module?
No, I couldn't. I didn't have internet, reliable internet access.
Yeah.
So sense. I just got back Sunday. So I'm just getting back to, I will do that this week.
Okay. Well, take your time. And then once you've gone through the first module and set your own outcome, uh-huh. then we get on a call.
Okay.
So we can schedule that. Okay. Same goes for you, Nicholas. Have you been able to look at it?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's, I put down a couple of goals and I'm not sure if they're sort of applicable to this program, but one of the outcomes was to stabilize myself at the ACMC level and also bring up my skills up to PCMC levels.
Okay.
And then it was a goal for us for my sort of how much I want to earn through coaching, maybe in the time frame of the coming year or 1 year ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so that sounds good. It doesn't have to be just one outcome. It can be in several outcomes in different areas. Mm. And have you also looked at what, like your present state and your desired state and how they, like what the difference is between them?
No, I went into it was like a kind of a mission statement exercise and the personal vision. So I went for that. I didn't go through the sort of the current states and the desired states, but that I will do.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. Yep. So, because that's the, like, basically you go through the well-formed outcome and the well-formed problem questions. Mm-hmm. And then you can, and that's a little bit, and I think I need to just update that as well in this program, is to look at, okay, like once you've got the present and desired state, now let's do some detection and analysis of, okay, what's going on here? Do I need to, is there some thing that I need to learn through training? Is there something in my inner game that is stopping me, for example, from reaching, from stabilizing at ACMC level? So really kind of getting into those details so that you know, okay, these are the things that I need to focus on to get to a stable, to stabilize ACMC level. Does that make sense, Nicholas?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. Okay, so Maria, let me just ask you where,
we did at the same time. Yeah.
So where are you at right now with the, with your outcome and, yeah, like what are some of the things that, that you still need to work on?
For me, my main focus is to, really hone in on getting results faster with my clients. So what I've been focusing on specifically is the like the structure. So I have a really clear picture in my head of, you know, since I've really been driving home that coaching is all about structure. So I really want a clear picture in my head of, in the coaching session, the things I'm looking for. So, you know, your diagram of the what is the present state? What is the trigger? What is the reference experience? What is their desired state? What would be the trigger? And then the meta questions, like trying to, I've been putting a list together of all the meta questions around looking into getting clarity on all those things. My next step is really just to continue to listen to more of the coaching sessions, like even in the ACMC, the recorded sessions.
Yeah.
So I can start, I think it's just refamiliarizing and just hearing it again and hearing, the coaching sessions again and the structure. And so, yeah, that's my main focus right now.
Right, yeah. And have you been going through the modules?
I've started, but no, that's hopefully the with the goal of finding some office spaces twofold, to do some coaching sessions, but also to carve out some specific time to actually dedicate to the coaching.
Yeah, because so when
doing
you're
the modules and,
yeah, because when you're like, for example, talking about meta questions.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what we learn in the ACMC is we have a list of 10 common meta questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I've focused on in the modules, and I'm just going to share it here now since we're on the call, is that meta questions lead to a specific meta state. So through meta questions, you are essentially meta stating. And the question then is, what kind of state do you want to induce and what kind of information do you need? So if you think about, because most of my clients are like, okay, I need 12 meta questions in 25 minutes. That's insane. It's so much. But if you break it down in, okay, what kind of information do I want and what energies do I need to activate in my client? So first there's the present state. That's the main one that where meta questions come in first is your present state. So once you've got your trigger and the context, then what do you believe about that trigger that puts you into the resulting state? So that if you ask 4 or 5 meta questions about the present state, which is pretty easy to do because you just ask the context and the trigger and the resulting state, ask meta questions about that. You've already got 4 or 5 meta questions there. Then it is a question of, okay, what other questions, what other states would you induce? You would induce the away from and you would induce the towards. So the why question and the why not. So what is it costing you to stay here? And if you stay here for 5 more years, what do you stand to lose? So those are meta questions as well. And so we have a list of meta questions, which is great, knowing what kinds of meta questions. I would like, it's almost like if you stick with like maybe four or five different types of meta questions, and you know, hey, I want to do the present state, I want to do the desired state, I want to do the towards and away from, then you're already asking enough meta questions.
Okay, that's clear. Mm-hmm.
And then obviously like there are resources that your client might need as well that you can access through meta questions. But that's the way that I started to teach it.
Mm-hmm. One question, Femke, I have is when to ask more clarity questions. So when you're having a coaching conversation, the client might, share, five different words where you could potentially ask more clarity, like definition questions around, what if they say perfect or if they say struct, whatever it is. Sometimes it's the challenge I find is knowing which where to interrupt them to ask clarity questions, mm-hmm. and when to let them go a little bit more to then understand which is the clarity question that you need, to sort of understand that needs to be clearer.
Yeah.
How do you navigate that? The balance between not interrupting the flow so you can have an understanding and then actually, asking clarity definition questions.
Yeah, I think the most important thing is to, over the course of the conversation that'll change, but as you start off with what is it that my client wants as an outcome? So what I hear a lot is, I want clarity on my plan. That's an outcome statement. And what I hear a lot is that the coach then starts to tell me about your plan. What specifically do you mean with the plan? But the client wants clarity. So essentially what he's saying, I'm not clear right now. So if I listen to that clarity about a plan, if I then need to choose which one am I going to ask clarity on, it's going to be a clarity question on, it's about the clarity.
Okay. Because
that's where the energy is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also where I then can ask meta questions. The plan is a, I might ask some more information about that later if that comes up. But the first thing is like, tell me about clarity. What are you not clear on now? And then you're going to get more information. But it's the main thing is that it stays focused on the outcome.
Okay. What are some other things that come to mind that clients may have said at the beginning of a coaching session you've checked in with clarity definition questions?
In the session that we had earlier, mm-hmm. Maria was on a call earlier with me on the practice group, and the person that was being coached didn't like writing emails. He likes talking to people because he feels that he can adjust to the responses. So that was like, and he also said it takes a long time. Writing emails takes a long time. So right there, Maria, is when I would have asked, what specifically do you mean with it taking a long time? And I'm also curious, adjusting, what he means with adjusting to the responses, because in my mind I'm thinking, well, can't you adjust to an email as well? Mm-hmm. So by asking that, I'm teasing out, because I want to understand how he has mapped it out, not how I would map it out. So by almost like allowing myself to be confused, it tells me, okay, I need to ask a question about that.
Mm-hmm. And would you ask the clarity questions? Would it be the same for you if it was a new client or a client, an existing client, maybe on a second or third session in terms of clarity? If it was a new client, would you be waiting to get, like if you've not met this person and you have a coaching session, for their first coaching session, would you allow more time to have more of an understanding of what the client wants and a bit of background before you were asking clarity questions with a new client as opposed to an existing client?
I think over time I used to give people a lot more story time, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's also really valuable, especially in the beginning. If I start a relationship, like a coaching program with someone, and I let them talk, but the thing is, as they are talking, I'm still organizing the information. And I think part of why people are get overwhelmed is because they don't structure the information. Then it's like, oh, I need to ask a clarity question about this and about this and about this. And all of those you might actually need clarity on. But if you start going one way, then you might forget about the others. And that's why taking notes in a structured way and knowing, oh, now my client is talking about this situation and now they're talking about another situation. I'm comfortable letting my client talk, but I'm still going to organize the information and structure it. And then I can eventually drill down. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah, the key is structuring the information.
Yeah. It really is like, how do you organize that? And I don't know. I know Nicholas, because he's gone through the program before, he's like aware of the coaching template that I use. Francisco, have you been able to watch any of the videos that I've done on my coaching template?
I watched the several times the ones that you provided for the class
exactly.
Okay,
so that'll give you a good overview of how to organize the information. And essentially what I do to Maria is I listen for different present states, and that's a lot of the time. If a client just has a lot of story and they need to get that out, they're going to share like different examples or even completely different situations. And it kind of like, I find it calming, because before I would get really overwhelmed just to kind of say, okay, I have this situation. I'm just going to let her what seems to be rambling, but I'm gathering the information that I need so that I can, once my client feels like, okay, now I feel heard, now we can make some big leaps, because I've already put that information in a structure and it's just about refining. But the thing is, and it came up again in the last call as well, I can't do anything in 25 minutes. Well, if I do an entire coaching program, I don't do that in 5 minutes. I do it in 2 hours. And then after that, we have several emails back and forth to really refine the outcomes and to identify, okay, this is what we need to work on. And the beauty of building a coaching program that way is that you can look across different present states and identify patterns. So I had a client, I'm just wrapping up the last two sessions with him, but when we started out, he, like one of the situations was that he was afraid of approaching women. And another situation was at work. And there were like with his some in a situation with his family, but across all of those situations, what the problem was, what the problem had to do with his self-worth. And so we identified that, and that's the first thing that we then needed to work on. And I think that's the beauty of letting someone talk and identifying those different states and then drilling into the different states and fleshing it out, that you can then look across those different states and see, hey, here's a theme that runs across contexts that we really need to work on, and that then makes a big difference. And that I think is the beauty of because Maria, you're talking about wanting to I'm using my word, but to me, be more efficient in your coaching.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and that I think is it's really efficient if you spend a little bit more time in the beginning. To get to, and to be really thorough, because then if you can get to that core really quickly, then you can you need less sessions. So I went from needing eight full sessions of an hour and a half to six sessions of an hour, and I get more done because I really gave myself permission to do structure and to get into the details.
Yeah. One of the next questions I had, Femke, was how much preparation do you do with an ongoing client prior to the next session with them? So whether it's the day before their next session. How much preparation in terms of reading over what was, you know, what is their outcome? Reading over that, well, you know, some notes from the previous sessions.
I don't.
Okay.
No, I send them the my notes that I take, and I take that in the form of my template, so I can go back to that real easily. And I make my client responsible for what to work on. So they're responsible for keeping track of the outcome. And I'll bring that up during the session. And I also, like, I have to say also that I usually, when we start talking, I remember the last conversation that we had. And I think that's also because I've put it in a structure.
Okay. So, and the structure that you give them is that kind of that template of what was discussed in terms of the present state, the trigger, or is it more detailed?
A little bit more detailed than that. Like, so I really, I'm thinking, I don't really have an example laying around, because otherwise I could open up my video. But I really write down like all the layers of beliefs. I write down like what they see in their mind, etc. And so I put it in that system of present state, desired state, and what the structure of the present and desired state is, and then like the steps and stages in between. It's focused, so I don't write a lot necessarily, but I write the essential things.
Okay.
Yeah. So Nicholas or Francisco, any questions coming up for you while we're going through this?
Not really, not a specific one, no.
Okay. Francisco?
No, not so far.
Okay. Hold on, I just have to text my babysitter because my son is getting very fussy. So I might have to feed him while we're on the call. Yeah, so does that help, Maria?
I've got a bit more clarity on the clarity when to get more clarity definition questions in there with the client. And so the main things from that discussion I'm taking away is really is just to, you know, keep in mind that not only am I looking for the structure, I'm actually making sure I've got that sort of front center of mind, and mm-hmm. I can and if I'm recording that in a way that I can bring up reference easily, it'll make it clearer.
Right. Yeah, that's gonna make a big difference. Mm-hmm. So just to give you an example, Nicholas said, "Oh, I want to stabilize ACMC at ACMC level."
Mm-hmm.
That's like a really broad, or like not broad, but it's still very vague. So, mm-hmm. But I know the outcome that he wants. He wants to stabilize. So I could ask mm-hmm. him, what do you mean specifically with ACMC level? But the stabilizing for me is the first thing that I'm going to ask questions about.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that really makes a difference, like listening for the what is the outcome that my client wants? And being able to listen for that. And what happens is as you gather more information and as you get more specific, then you the what is going to be different because you're going up the levels.
Yeah.
And then the clarity that you need is going to be different.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that makes sense.
So what happens is what I look at is, okay, I have a little bit of an idea of what stabilizing means, but essentially what I know from what Nicholas is saying is that it right now it's not as stable as he would like. So I want to know where specifically is it not stable and what specifically is not stable, because it could be like specific skills, like, you know, it's just the skill of meta questions, or it's a combination, or it might be his state. I don't know any of those things, so I need to really drill down into that. And what I keep in the back of my mind is that right now the outcome is stabilizing. If it changes, I'm going to shift, but for now I'm going to stick with that. And so that's what I need to really understand in terms of present and desired state.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. This is Francisco. What about the? It seems like there may be a pattern with the action. Maybe when people say, "I want to have more clarity about my plan," so the first will be to clarify more on the on what about clarity?
Yeah.
And then eventually, maybe we need to find out more about the plan. But clarity seems to be the issue there.
Right. Yeah.
Having in some kind of because I mean I have some issues sometimes when I get a client that give me like 3, 4, 5 and one of those people that talks a lot and then give me like 4 or 5 things, and then my God, which one, you know, so I have to step back a little bit, slow down, interrupt, and then look for What specifically do you want to work on from these five things that you just told? Yeah,
exactly.
And then, so when we focus on one, this person goes into give me another five more. So I have to do that like a few times. So do you have any suggestions? Just keep doing that until you focus on one or two things to follow?
Yeah, and it might be that that's a pattern. If you're talking with someone who's very options oriented,
yeah,
that question is going to be very uncomfortable. Like, what is the one thing that you want to work on? Well, or, you know, like, give me one example, and they give you three examples. If that's a pattern, that might be something that you need to point out, because otherwise you're going to be working really hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, really sticking with that. Okay, so I'm hearing you say this and this and this. What is it that you want to work on today? If unless it is a you're working on a coaching program, then you can say, okay, I'm hearing you say this and this and this. What other things? What other outcomes do you have? Do you want so that you, can focus on. Like first getting like a broad idea and then drill down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just following the energy of the client. Yeah. Give me just a few seconds because I need to get my son. Otherwise he's going to go supersonic on his nanny.
So, Nicholas, do you have something from Femke's clarity questions around stabilizing? Just is something coming to mind?
No, I think it's well, what comes to mind is probably it's about my own state, really.
Okay.
So, I think that needs a bit more clarity as well, but there's something there about the states, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm back. So I'm hearing you were talking about Nicholas's outcome. Is that correct?
I was just asking whether from the conversation, a clarity question around the stabilizing, whether something came to mind about what specifically.
So Maria, do you want to get some practice with regards to clarity questions and we can maybe ask Nicholas?
I'm happy if that's where Nicholas feels like he wants to go tonight, and Francisco's happy to go there.
Yeah, sure.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay, let's work with it. That sounds good.
And then, okay. So, before I do that, though, Francisco, did I answer your questions?
Yes, you did.
Uh-huh. Okay, good.
Okay, so Nicholas, if you're happy to go there, So you just in response to did that open up something for you? You mentioned it might be your state. What do you specifically mean about your state that you would like to work on?
Yeah, that's a good question. But I think I won't be sort of. I won't have a feedback person checking the usage of the meta coaching skill. So it has to be something regarding my states that I'm aware of using the skills I should be doing. So yeah, I hear it's vague, but it's something about my inner state, sort of being knowing that I've been focusing on the skills, I think.
Okay. So in terms of your state, it would be a knowing that you have been focusing on your skills. Is that during a coaching session? Is it after, or is it reflection, or what? When specifically?
I think it's during the conversation and after the conversation. I think I get a pleasant state when I feel I tend to feel satisfied with the coaching session, and my interpretation then is that I'm using most of the skills or all of the skills in a way that would sort of be, you know, 2.5.
Okay, so that and yeah. Mm-hmm. So you would be satisfied that you have a, is that a feeling of
it's a feeling. I think when I sort of stop interrupting, it's I hear myself. I'm really vague here, but I think it might be something around having an inner dialogue sometimes that stops me from using the skills I think I have.
Okay, so. Is this something with all clients, with some clients, with clients, or is it with other people, or just clients specifically?
I don't think it matters really that much what kind of client it is. It's... I think the trigger is actually even before the conversation. Before I meet the client, I'm not in the best of states, I think, and that makes me a bit unsure of myself, and then the internal dialogue starts, and that hinders me from using the skills in the way I should be doing, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, so you've interrupt for a moment.
Sure.
Yes. So with regards to stabilizing is at ACMC level, do you feel like right now you're getting closer to understanding what specifically he would be stabilizing?
I'm my understanding, and I'm not clear, but where I think we're at is to Nicholas stabilizing. We're going along the lines of the direction of it's the inner dialogue. So it's not just during the client session. And afterwards, it's actually even before the client.
Right.
So I'm potentially understanding that the stabilizing is about the inner dialogue. So would I be asking more questions about the inner dialogue? And what is that? What does it look like?
And I would then bring it back, because you've got some really valuable information.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty. Like, we don't know where it's going to go. Because if you think about stabilizing ACMC, you can think of things, but you don't know that it's going to be to actually being in the right state beforehand. But I still don't know, like, because I still in the back of my mind have, okay, he wants to stabilize it. So if he wants to stabilize his state before
mm-hmm.
he goes into a session, so he can use all of the skills that he knows he has.
Mm-hmm.
What is the stabilizing like? Because then I know, okay, how often does it is he in that in this state? I'm paraphrasing here, but in a bad state where he does the internal dialogue. How often does that happen? And what in this context does stabilizing mean? Because that's going to give us an idea of what to work on.
Okay. Okay, so we'll go there.
Yes.
Okay, so Nicholas.
Yeah.
That feedback you've just heard from Femke. So, so how often does this stabilizing happen?
Do you mean how often the need of stabilizing the state, or how often? I'm sorry, I didn't really.
So if we go back to what does actually stabilizing mean in this context of stabilizing a CMC level?
Yeah, I think my own perception is I think I have the skills, but it might even be every third coaching session, roughly, I'm not in my optimal state, or optimal, but I'm not in the most resourceful state, and then I start to, you know, with the internal dialogue, and I lose focus on the client, that leads to not being on ACMC level, I think.
Okay. And so every third coach?
Yeah, something like that. Hello?
I think Maria dropped out. Maria?
So after the third coaching session?
Maria, you dropped out for a little bit.
Oh, sorry, yeah, I just came up with a bad, excuse me, sorry. Yeah. There.
No problem.
So my question, Nicholas, was, so is the, when you tend to not be in the most resourceful state and you lose focus on the client, is that with every third session, coaching session with the same client?
No, that could be, I think it's a difference with the people that I've known a long time. Like, for example, I coach a lady that I've known for a couple of years, and I haven't noticed, I think the sessions have been actually at the ACMC level with her. But if I take people that I don't know that much, I would say something around, every third session or so, I'm not pleased with them, and I lose focus on the client, and instead being very critical on myself and through the inner dialogue.
Okay. And so, what would happen if you were stabilizing at a CMC level with these clients that are the new clients, not with clients you've been coaching for a long time? What would that look like?
I think it would give me better sense of accomplishment. I mean, I would be satisfied with my coaching. I perceive that the clients would notice the difference, of course. I think it would be more fun, actually. I mean, it's fun to coach when you believe that you have the resources available. So I think, it would be better results and more fun.
Okay, so it would be better results, more fun. You'd have the sense of accomplishment, and the clients would notice the difference.
Yeah.
How would you know that you were stabilizing at CMC level?
I think by maintaining a resourceful state during my sessions. I mean, by preparing probably so that I would ensure that I'm in a positive state. I think I would know when the session starts. If I had prepared myself by focusing or getting into a resourceful state, I think I would sort of know that. Then I would have my resources available, I think.
Okay, so you would know that because you would be maintaining a resourceful state, you would know that you were stabilizing at ACMC level because you'd be maintaining a resourceful state during your sessions, even by preparing for your sessions. So even you would know when the session starts because you would have the resources available. Is would that be correct?
Yeah, because I think it starts even, as I told you before, it starts even before the session. So I'm focusing on some beliefs that I'm not good enough. I won't be able to help the client get a good result. Why should they choose me? And so I have that sort of mind chatter going on actually at the start of the session, I think.
Okay. So if the connection between stabilizing at ACMC level, yeah, and what you just described as the beliefs about you not being good enough, what is the connection?
I think it's like I have a battle between the beliefs that I am good enough, I am a good meta coach, but I also have the opposite beliefs. So if we're talking logical levels, I mean, those beliefs, I know I have the skills, but there's a sort of battle between those opposing beliefs that leads to the feeling of not being stable.
Okay. And if you didn't have this battle between the beliefs that you're good enough and the opposing beliefs, you would be able to feel you were stabilizing at the ACMC level.
If I just had a feeling that I'm good at what I'm doing, I'm a good meta coach, and so on. If that was sort of a total certainty, then I would feel I would be stable at the ACMC level, yes.
And what would happen to the opposing beliefs?
They sort of need to be... they need to vanish.
So they would need to vanish. Would they be vanished? Would they vanish?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I tend to battle between those opposing beliefs. I've done it a long time, so okay. I don't know really how I would like to make them vanish.
So it sounds like you're very good at it.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, but they sort of. They're still living in the house of Niklas. They lurking in the background.
And if the battle wasn't there, what would be in its place?
The sort of certainty that, I mean, that's the case. I mean, that I'm an ACMC meta coach.
Okay. And what would that certainty look like?
I think it would be in my posture. It would be in a stable eye contact with whoever I'm coaching. It would be focus on the client, not sort of inner focus. It would be quiet in my mind. I wouldn't be occupied by the mind chatter or the internal dialogue.
Okay.
So I would sort of be centered. I would be have a sort of good straight posture, eye contact. Mm-hmm. I would be relaxed. I would be no muscle tensions around my neck and in my face. I would have a sort of melody in my voice. I would strength in my voice, and I would be focusing and observing the client with my eyes and my ears.
Okay. And in terms, you mentioned before, Nicholas, about that sometimes the inner dialogue happens before the client session. So are these items of certainty, the posture, the stable eye contact, what happens to the certainty before the session?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's I think the focusing on the limiting beliefs arises from a poor state from the beginning, so to speak. It's like the needed background for focusing on my limitations is there. It's not a resourceful state. I'm tired. I'm feeling a lack of energy. It's like everything moves slowly in my mind and my voice and. So that's the sort of environment the limiting beliefs thrives in.
Okay. So the limiting, what's the trigger for these limiting beliefs?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, like I just explained, I think the sort of resourceless state need to be there for the limiting beliefs to arise. But what I'm not really sure what triggers the state from the beginning.
Sure.
Okay, I'm just going to stop you there, Maria.
Yep.
So, I think you did really well, and you're really honing in on what this, like, what the conversation or the work really needs to be about.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're getting even closer to that, where like, oh, he's already in an unresourceful state. You started doing this because you wanted to know more about like asking clarity questions.
Yes.
So I'm curious, do you know what the resourceful state is?
No, Nicholas was saying, the resourceless state needs to be there. I was thinking of asking clarity questions around that, and my mind went to and I was going to check in with him, the resources stayed whether there were other elements too. So there was the lack of energy, everything's moving slowly.
Right.
Connection between that, yeah.
Yeah, and so then you get to like a, what I would call like a new level of what, because it, you dig, it's like almost like you become, you get closer to the real what.
Yeah.
There. And that's where you ask clarity questions. So though it's from both the present state, you get the present state behind the present state and ask more clarity there. He also talked about opposing beliefs and inner dialogue, which those things are, I don't know what specifically the opposing beliefs are. I'd like to know that.
Yeah.
And also he talked about, what did I just say? I'm totally.
But I think, Maria, you asked me about the opposing beliefs. Like I said, that I mean, the opposing beliefs are like that. I am at ACMC level. I am.
And I'm good enough.
Good enough. Yeah. So so I think you got both of them.
Okay, and so there's nothing behind there in terms of beliefs?
Maybe some meta questions. Is that what you're saying around what do you believe about you not being a good enough? Is that, would that be the direction?
I would have been interested in what holds those in place.
Yeah.
And but also to just really specify that. In an acknowledgement, so, okay, this is, so these are the opposing beliefs. How are they opposing? And because he also talked about internal dialogue, what is the internal dialogue that's going on?
Yeah.
So getting specific there. So all of that, that clarity fits within the outcome that Nicholas wants.
Yeah.
And the clarity is to build the present state and to build the desired state. We could have done more of the desired state had we, you know, had we continued on it, that's where it would have gone. And you got a little bit of that because Nicholas really, I really heard a shift in Nicholas's voice when he started talking about, okay, when is this, like, what will that look like when you have the certainty? And so you... And that's the beauty of that dance. You went to the to the desired state, and then you went back to dive deeper into the present state. So I think you did really well there in terms of clarity questions. There's just a couple like resources and internal dialogue that I would have done, and then some more meta questions.
Okay, thank you.
And then it is a case of, okay, so this is what's going on. You can feed it back. I'm curious how, like, how that those unresourceful states obviously occur and how they affect his coaching session, or you know, then it becomes a question of what does he need to work on in order to. Because sometimes, you know, we are tired and we don't have energy. What does Nicholas want or need to work on in order to not let that affect his beliefs and as a result his coaching? So but there we need more information for that. Did this give you more idea of the use of clarity questions?
For me, yes. Thank you. Okay. And thank you, Nicholas. I hope that was of some use.
Of course, yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Francisco, do you have any questions or anything you would like to share?
My question is more about the amount of time spent in the present state versus the desired state. do you do more on the present state to figure until you figure it out, or you switch back and forth depending where the client goes?
My experience is that most people, even though we, you know, we have an outcome, are away from oriented. Uh-huh. So tend to spend quite a bit of time in the present state. And what I find as well is that that's where you can find what needs to be worked on.
Oh.
So you need to know, like, what is the limiting belief? Is there a cognitive distortion that's operating, or a reference experience? So all of that information you need. And then it tends to be pretty easy to then switch to, okay, what is it that you would want instead? I think a little bit more time on present state. But if your client is really focused on where they want to go, then go there.
Okay.
Yeah. As long as you get the details of both, because that's important. That's going to get you the gap and the ability to analyze the gap and know what is it that we need to work on. Oh, you dropped out, Francisco.
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. You're here. Good. What were you asking?
I asked about the amount of time spending in the present and desired state, and you answered that.
Oh, okay. So maybe it was Nicholas who was talking.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I pushed the wrong button here on the computer. That's why.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We started the file. Yeah.
Good. Okay. Very good. So. Yeah, so it really is a dance, Francisco, and you need to get to the analysis part so that your client can answer that question, okay, what do you need to do to get there? And then you can identify, okay, this is, like, out of all of the things that we need to do, what can you do for yourself? Have you done that before? And then you can really hone in even further on, okay, this is the work that we need to do together.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so any other questions for today?
So since I'm new to the group, the format is bringing for these sessions is brainstorming on a specific tools or issues or can you tell me more about it?
Yes, absolutely. So usually you can bring in a specific topic that's relevant for you,
okay,
in relation to the outcome that you've set, okay, for yourself. So that's why that's important to really focus on that. And then you go through the modules and you'll find, okay, this is what I need to focus on to make my next step. And so we then do a practice like we just did with Nicholas and Maria, because I think, like, just doing the practice gives them a better answer than me giving the answer.
Yeah, that's great.
So we do a lot of practicing.
Femke, the modules I have when I log into your site is, those are the business modules. Is that correct?
You have access to that, but below there, you should have, like, it should say week one, two, like at the very bottom, because you first have the Quantum Leap, then you have the business, and then you have the coaching, mentoring.
Yeah, because for me it's like I have the business modules, but I can't see like you say at the bottom. I don't see any.
Oh, you don't? Let me quickly check. I thought I checked it last week. your access.
While we're on access, Vimka, I can't actually, I'm not sure if I've changed my password, but I don't seem to be able to log on now. Maybe if you could just, I don't know if you can resend me a link or a password or something. I tried to reset my password, but it doesn't seem to send me an email.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm not sure what's
look at it. Let me first look at Nicholas.
Sure.
Okay, Nicholas, I see that for some reason you don't have access to those yet.
That's why probably I mean,
yeah.
I did the vision and mission and the KPI out of the
okay
business.
So you should have access right now to week 1 and 2. I just added.
Okay. So I need to log out and log in again, or?
Maybe just refresh. I'm not sure if that.
Yeah, okay. I'll get back to you if there's any problem.
Okay, that sounds good. And then
when you get a chance, Fenka, so you can also check mine. I had the same issue before, but I haven't checked recently.
Okay. So Maria, you look active.
Yeah, I tried to log on, but it's not accepting my password, and I tried to resend like a link to reset, but the email just hasn't arrived.
And are you using the?
I was using the original one that you sent me, but
are you
I'm not sure.
The username Sarah?
Yeah, I put that in. It's a WordPress link, isn't it? Is that correct?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I put that in with my password, but it doesn't seem to.
Manually reset your password.
Yes,
if you can
do that, that would be great.
I'll do that, and then let me take a look at. Francisco, which username are you using?
Well, the my assistant in the office registered me, so I came on the Pacheco T, and you told me that you probably couldn't change that, so I will have a different name for the.
You know what? Because you know, like you, you are on the ACMC ACMC assistance.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I can just add you to add the access to that. Would that work?
Oh, that would be perfect. That would be because I have seen the videos a few times from the ACMC assistant.
Okay, so that's the let me just do that real quick for both the business. So I'm giving you access. Also for the business and the mentoring.
Great, thank you.
And so the business shows up as module 1 and the mentoring shows up as week 1 to 2.
Okay.
I need to clarify that better, but just so you know. And then your username here says dalmeyerf@si.edu.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, okay. So you have access to that. Let me just... Yeah, you have access to that now as well.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. So you should be. So it should be like just showing up every 2 weeks. You get access to the next module. If you feel like, hey, I want to
go faster and you want me to open up the next module, then just drop me an email and I'll go ahead and manually do that.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
So those 2 weeks, they would be sort of input to the, I mean, to the next call. I mean, do them, yeah.
It could be that it's that module, but it could also be like because you've set an outcome for yourself, could be another topic that you focus on as well.
Yeah.
So, and one thing, Francisco, I also need to give you access to the Quantum Leap. Did you already have access to that?
No.
And Maria, did you have access to that?
Gosh, I haven't actually, for the 3 months of summer, logged on. So then, I can't remember what I had access to.
Okay, so let me just give you access also to the Quantum Leap.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so all the access is sorted out now.
Thank you.
So for all of them, every 2 weeks you get you get like the next module on that. I'm gonna put the recording. There haven't been any recordings because we haven't been doing any calls lately. But I'm going to put the recording up. You can find that under KACC resources.
Okay.
Meantime, if you have any questions about the modules, just feel free to drop me an email, and we'll sort that out. And then, for Francisco and Nicholas, if you have gone through the process of, getting the details of your outcome, and knowing what to work on, then you can send that document to me and schedule an appointment.
Okay,
so that we can go through that.
We'll do.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, well, we've come to the end of our call for today. 2 weeks from now, we're on the call again, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks for coming.
Bye.
Bye. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.